everybody. Hope you're doing well today. Welcome to the show, Ginger Black with Work Insanity. Yes. Are you having an insane day today, or are you working in sanity? That's always the question. Today, I wanted to talk with you about a little brain science. Now, don't run away. It's not going to be scientific, but I am going to talk a little bit about how the brain works. I find it fascinating that, you know, all these years we've had a brain, and just in the last, say, 20 years, we've had phenomenal research done on the brain. So we know in the last 15 to 20 years, we've actually learned more about the brain because of magnetic imagery, and we're able to see inside the brain while people are still alive. Prior to that, obviously, the brain research was only done on dead people, so because they weren't cutting into anyone's brain and having any success with the person living. So, better to live in these times, right? Anyway, the brain is a fantastic thing, and we know, even in the last 20 years, even though we know tons more than we did, we don't really know a lot. But today I wanted to talk to you about a couple things. One is, most of you by now have probably heard of The Secret and the Law of Attraction, and a lot of people think it's hoo-ha and poo-pa it. That's pretty good, hoo-ha and poo-pa. That's not my family members. Anyway, the law of attraction, the belief is that, you know, what you believe in will come true because you will attract it into your life. And yes, to some people that's weird science, maybe in a nice term, or you could call it weirdness in the person talking to you about it. But today I wanted to talk about real live brain function and something called the reticular activating system. Now, this part of the brain actually lies in the brain stem, and it's believed to influence or give you the ability to go from a waking state, from a sleeping state into a waking state and be fully alert. That's the main function. It also helps because it's in the brainstem. It helps with normal functions of breathing, heart rate, things like that. It's also believed to have some relationship to attention deficit disorder and other mental capacity thing, maybe even Alzheimer's. Now, the reason I bring it up today is because how it affects your everyday life is pretty important, actually. So, you know, you probably, if you're a manager or leader, you have people you work with or know who seem addicted to certain behaviors. They may be addicted to drama, for instance, and it just seems like no matter what you do, they always find drama. It becomes a major part of their life. Oh, stop laughing now. I know that you're thinking of somebody near you, either in the workplace or at home. There's actually a reason for that, and I'll get to that in a minute. It's the same effect that, for instance, you go and you buy a white car. And you say, this is really cool because I don't know anybody that has a white car. Isn't it cool? It's so pretty, creamy, white, and everybody's going to be so impressed with it. And you pull into the first shopping center. You get out of your car and you go into the store, the mall. And when you come out, you notice that there's at least 10 cars in the parking lot that are white that look very similar to yours. Why does that happen? What is the phenomenon that causes that? Well, it has to do with the reticular activating system. Prior to your buying a white car, you may have had a blue car. And so when you came out of the mall and you looked for a blue car, you were activating through your reticular activating system to find a blue car. Because out of the hundreds of cars in the parking lot, your brain was set to look for a blue car in the shape of yours. And now that you've got a new white car, your brain has to reset, and now it sees only white cars. The same effect is when you have, when you go to a concert or a football game, for instance, and you hear the cheering crowd. You're sitting next to somebody and you're having a conversation with them, and you're able to screen out all of that background noise. Yes, you know it's going on. Yes, you can still hear it because your conscious brain takes note of it. But your reticular activating system is focusing just on the conversation with the person next to you. Now, the reason your brain does this, in my belief, it thinks it keeps us from actually going mad with all that, well, most people. With all that's going on around us, we're able to focus in on certain things. And this is why this particular part of the brain is being focused on with attention deficit disorder, because of the lack of being able to focus. Now, the other thing that's interesting about the reticular activating system is that we are able to manipulate what it sees. And there is a belief that the reticular activating system is what keeps how the conscious brain talks to the subconscious brain or the unconscious brain, and how you can actually implant information onto the subconscious brain. So this is important to know if you want to, for lack of a better term, remodel yourself, or even help other people remodel themselves. And this is where the secret and the law of attraction have gone. The book Think and Grow Rich, the first three words of the book were, thoughts are things. So we know now that thoughts are actually electrical impulses, and they become things because if you focus on those thoughts, you know, and keep your mind focused on them and implant that information on your subconscious, then your subconscious is going to start to look for those things that you want it to see. So in other words, the reticular activating system is your filter. So just like any kind of filter, you want to set it up to see what you want it to see. And this is the thing about goal setting in the law of attraction. How do you attract into your life what you want? Is you filter out all the stuff that you don't want. But that's in layman's terms, but really if you focus on what you want, you're activating this reticular system that allows you to only see those things that you want. So let's go back to the drama person. The drama person gets, the first time they experience a drama, they attach emotion to it. And once you attach emotion to it, it becomes a very, very, very powerful influence in your life. And it activates. So this person, because the reticular activating system is pleasure-seeking, it wants what you want, right? So because there was an emotional payoff for the drama, the person keeps seeking out drama. Now, this is not conscious. They're not consciously doing it, and they may say they don't really want to do it. And this is why when people tell you, focus on what you want, focus on what you want, focus on what you want, thoughts become things, that's how that works. Now, let's get away from the drama person and think about somebody who seems like one of the most successful people you know. How are they different? Well, they're different because they're actually like a heat-seeking missile looking for success. And I wanted to share with you something today, and why this kind of came up was because I had someone send me an invitation yesterday on LinkedIn, and I went out to look at their bio, and we actually were in a group together, and the guy wrote me a very nice note, and so I was intrigued by him, and I went out and looked at his bio on LinkedIn, and I became kind of intrigued, and for some reason, which I don't know what that is, I became interested in him. I actually sent him a note and I said, I don't know why I'm telling you this. I think that you may think I'm crazy, but I said, I don't know whether you're looking for a job and why you were seeking out other people. He was employed and he was in a career that I knew something about, but I said, your bio was just screaming at me for me to contact you and ask you if you'd ever thought about doing work solely as opposed to looking for a job. And he sent me back a very nice note, but he asked me why. You know, I said his bio was screaming at me, and he asked me why. And as I've been thinking about a response, I'm not sure why. I'm not sure why I said that to him, other than the fact that I've been a behaviorist most of my life. I study behaviors of animals and people, and I employee assessments, helping businesses understand people before they brought them on board and see how they would be a fit in their organization. What I wanted to why I told him what I told him, I'm not really sure, other than the fact that I have studied success behaviors and I look for success behaviors, and I'm not sure I can actually articulate what those success behaviors are or why. In particular, his industry I worked extensively with when I worked with HR managers and helped them, you know, pick the right people. And this industry in particular is probably one of the worst industries in America for having, you know, high turnover, the worst. And, you know, maybe it came from that, and maybe it came from his past behaviors, and maybe it came from the way he worded his bio or his resume on LinkedIn, but I was impressed, and because the industry needs so much help, I think I just thought he was somebody who could do that. Now, I think it was my reticular seeking system that was looking subconsciously for success factors and how he might how you can coach people into using their talent for success. And that's a talent I have. This podcast actually, you know, started from that, because I wanted to go back and look up this heat-seeking missile that we all have, so to speak. And how do we use it, and how do we take ourselves to the next level by using it? Or, if you so choose, how do you hold yourself back by using your heat-seeking missile. I like that. Using your heat-seeking missile to find disaster in your life. So I've also had some experience recently with someone who's had a lot of trauma in their life. And again, there's an emotional connection to that trauma. And once you start looking at trauma that's going on in your life, you start attracting it. And it's a very sad thing when you can't help people see that they're like a heat-seeking missile for trauma. They're like a heat-seeking missile for drama. They're a they are you know, prone to that. And how do you help that? Well, first of all, the person has to be willing, a willing participant, to want to change. And they have to listen to someone who can help them. They have to listen to, you know, it's an addiction. It is an addiction. And how do you get away from any addiction is you get help. And you seek out, you know, again, the addiction to an emotional state is pleasure seeking. And it's the same with drug addiction or alcohol addiction or food addiction. You are seeking that same payoff that gave you a high, that gave you a feeling of emotional satiety. Anyway, you'll be satiated. The brain looks for other things that match that state. And there's also something called repetition compulsion, which means that you are compelled to repeat a pattern over and over again. Because once the brain becomes familiar with that, it's easy for the brain, you know, your brain is lazy. Once it finds something that gives it some satisfaction and it gets rewarded for it because of the emotional state, then it's easy for the brain to repeat that over and over again. And so it seeks that out because it's easy. And what you need to fix that is what's called a pattern interruption. And so you need to interrupt that pattern. And to be honest, if you're working with somebody that knows what they're doing, that doesn't take a lot. It's not like years of you know, getting help. It can be done in 15 or 20 minutes. It's that powerful. And you know, and some of us have been trained in that, so you need to seek out somebody who can help you with that. And this is where, why, since this has come about in the last 20, 30 years, that people have started to realize that talk therapy doesn't work. Why does talk therapy not work? And I'm not bashing anybody. Talk therapy is good in certain instances. But what happens in talk therapy is, what are you focused on? You're focused on what's wrong. You're focused on what's broken. You're focused on what didn't work. And as long as you're focused on that, what happens to your reticular activating system? It goes back and it keeps looking for those things. It looks for those things that are broken. It looks for those things that need fixing. And it keeps you in that state, because then you've got the repetition compulsion to keep repeating the same mistakes over and over again. See how powerful this is? Isn't it amazing how powerful this is? So when you think about the reticular activating system, or the thalamus in the brain, and one of the things about this particular part of the brain, the RAS as it's called, the reticular activating system, is that because it's in the brain stem, it is a part of the brain that can be easily damaged. So if you're in a car accident, or if you're in a brain, something happens to the brain stem in birth delivery, in a falling accident, and other things where. So this is why people end up in a coma, because the reticular activating system can't bring you into a waking state. and you're in your unconscious state, because that's what's working in your brain. It can't make the connection to the conscious state. Very fascinating information that we have available to us today. So again, in this part of the brain, the sensory input, all the sensory input goes through this filter. And your brain finds things that match up with the picture that you have. So let's get back to the success factor. You know, why is it that some people are successful? And if you watch successful people, they have goals in mind, and they have a picture, a vision of what they want to seek out, because they know what it looks like. Now, not only do they know what it looks like, and you may say, well, I don't have visual capability. I don't know how to picture things in my mind. That may be because you're an auditory learner. We'll get into that later. You could be an auditory learner or a kinesthetic learner, where you learn by feelings. Auditory, where you learn by hearing. This is why when you set goals, they have to be all-encompassing with all five of your senses. You have to know how you're going to feel when you accomplish that goal. You have to focus on what it's going to sound like when you focus on a goal. And I get into this in other podcasts, but again, heat-seeking missile. Think about your brain as a heat-seeking missile when you're setting your goals. What do you want that heat-seeking missile to find? Beyond all other things. And what happens is your brain starts to look for those success factors. Your brain starts to see, how can I get what's pictured? Or how can I get what I want to feel, that emotional state. Powerful, powerful stuff. Thanks for joining me today. Again, it's Ginger Black at workinsanity.com. Thanks for joining me, and have a great rest of your day with that heat-seeking missile. Use it to the best of your ability. Talk with you soon.